This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Ifikala ka Jehova Jehovah. Yeah, that's me.
And who are you, bro?
Well, I'm Supra.
S-O-R.
Yeah, Supra Ubakeng, Ramu Eletsi, Mahuma Pelo. This song, it's from one of my five albums. This song, when I was growing up, my mother, my late mother, loved this song very much. So we'll go to church every Sunday, Methodist church. And I'll look at her, you know, singing this song emotionally. So every time when my mother passed on, I then decided to go to the studio and dedicate this song to her and many other mothers who have passed on and who are still
When I chose this song, I didn't know that.
So I was dedicating it to my mother and my grandmother. I was brought up by my grandmother because my mother was working here in Johannesburg in Roodepoort as a domestic worker. So basically, I'm a product of my grandmother. So I was dedicating the song to both of them. And I want to wish all the women in South Africa a very productive August. And I hope that we cannot just confine everything we do for women, with women, to August. It must be 365 days.
Sure, absolutely.
All the way, yes.
Supra, now that we're talking about that, 8 women raped in Krugersdorp in the most brutal way. And we are now in August, and you raise August as the month for women. I mean, it's not the kind of image that we want to portray as men in this country and or as South Africa to the rest of the world or even to ourselves. We don't want to be mirroring that.
It's a sad thing. When you look at what is happening in South Africa now, almost every day there's something extreme that happens. We can't put our fingers to it, generally, as society. Yes, I know many other people point fingers elsewhere, illegal foreign nationals, and so on. But I think if we can intensify our work from our households, in the churches, in our sport bodies, in the schools, everywhere, and we talk about Ubuntu and what it means, not just in rallies. If we inculcate that generally in our society and practically, we live it practically so that we don't just theorize about it, I think it will take us somewhere. We have to ensure that the entire society desist from these acts. I don't know what goes through the mind of other people, you know, when they do such horrendous crimes. But the law will have to be very harsh with them. And we must also thank the community for rising up.
People criticize the law. People criticize the judicial system. People criticize the police. And I think sometimes justifiably so. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you just listen to the open line here, there was one caller who was saying, I live here in an area where there's no ambulances, there's no police, and you know, it's ward 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he carries on to up to 11. And so, you know, what's going on when obviously these things are happening? We want the police and the judiciary to come on board, but sometimes it's people's realities that it doesn't.
Denzel, there are policemen and women who are passionate, who are doing their work. Others die on the line of duty. So families lose them because they are protecting the society. There are rotten apples also within the system, right? So you've got a mixture of both, dualism, within the justice system broadly, right? So even the courts and so on, you'll find good judges and you'll find bad judges. So as society, we have to know that these things will be there. because we are dealing with human beings. Mm. But we have to confront them. That's why I'm saying that I applaud the community for standing up and saying this thing cannot continue to be like this. You know, at the ANC policy conference over the weekend, I made a proposal that one of the things we have to do to deal with these matters of crime in our society is to make sure that the communities themselves, over and above the CPF, the government must launch a massive volunteer movement where you apply, you are vetted and so on, and you become a volunteer in the community over and above the CPF, as I've said, so that we can reclaim the streets, we can reclaim the townships, reclaim the villages. We have to see how we use the advancement of technology to close the space for the criminals. But then as government also and the people, those who are rotten apples within the justice system, within the police and so on, we must not be afraid to say we need to expose them and they need to be dealt with harshly by the law.
Let's talk about foreign nationals. What's your, and of course you are in parliament. You're the chairman of the International Relations Committee. You sit there. These are international affairs, relationships with particularly within the Southern African region, very, very sensitive at this particular point as well. So we could talk about our image everywhere else in the world, but our neighbors are those that are impacted by what we're doing here automatically. And when we begin to make the noises that we're beginning to make around issues of foreign nationals and or documented or not, our foreign neighbors look at us and say, is our friend xenophobic or not? What are you hearing? What is your perception of this particular story as it's developing in the country?
Of course, in the immediate, we have to deal with people who come to South Africa and going to other countries illegally, right? So we have to follow the processes and make sure that everybody who comes into the country, as much as us, when we go to other countries, we go there legally, right? So that we have to deal with.
That's the documented and undocumented aspect.
Exactly, documented and undocumented. And we must engender the spirit of working together as humanity. And I wish that all the ambassadors that are here in South Africa, particularly from Southern Africa and in Africa in general, we can come together and on a regular basis say, how do we go out on the ground to do education, to interact with the people on the ground so that we can deal with some of these matters? In the Portfolio Committee on International Relations, they say we are tabling a proposal that says that in every community throughout South Africa, every village, every township, we must establish village-based and townships-based people's oversight forums.
This is the document you produced for the policy conference now that engages both the party, both civil society and how parliament works as well.
I wanted to finish the first point. Once we deal with these problems, right, of other people are documented, others are not documented, and so on, we must not forget that Africa was shared among Europeans. So these are artificial borders. And I just hope that the AU can move as quickly as possible such that the ultimate end, Africa can become one country, must become a country with the 54 states.
Not in mine and your lifetime, Bruce.
The struggle continues. Yes, the struggle continues. Because it will be easier to deal with some of the problems that we have. It will be easier to deal with problems of the economy, the movement of goods and services and so on. And as I'm saying, embedded within the entire process, it has to be education and education among our people to learn to live together peacefully.
Sure. Let's take a break. It is 22 minutes past 9. I have in studio Supra Mahumapelo, and of course he is... he is deployed to Parliament these days, taking on a totally new role. We'll talk about all of that. We'll talk about the policy conference. We'll talk about his music. We'll talk about where he is in the ANC right now and what his ideas are of where the ANC is as well. 25 minutes past nine in studio with me, Supra Mahumapelo, of course, former premier in the Northwest Province, tasked or deployed to a new role in Parliament and various other things also, just coming out of the policy conference also, where he is beginning to speak to some of those issues. The last time I saw you, Supra, was in Nazareth. Not this time around.
I wanted to say which Nazareth.
I missed you this time around. I went on the first day and then I thought, you know what, it doesn't feel the same way ANC conferences normally feel. There was something different about this one, but you can tell me about that. It just didn't feel the same. But I saw you in 2017, and the whole issue then was, of course, about the new leadership coming in.
Yeah.
And there was the big issue around a friend of yours, and I'll call him a friend of yours, Ace Magashula.
Yeah.
And he was there for the position, of course, contesting the position of Secretary General.
Yeah.
And you particularly, Ace never came out to particularly address anybody on that, and I suppose for particular reasons, because he was a participant in the space.
Yeah.
But you came out immediately when there were questions of recounting, when there were questions of, you know, doubt around the issue. And you came out and you kind of stole the show, I have to admit, around that particular time. The issue was on, and you were very adamant about it. You said, if the ballots for Ace Magashula need to be recounted, we have to recount every single other contested position. And you stuck by that. And you said, that's what we are going to demand.
Denzel, by then I was the provincial chairperson of the African National Congress. And among the chairpersons, sharing the same perspective, there was an agreement that I should convene the other chairpersons. So it became a chairperson's forum, right? So when there was this insistence after the results were announced, that there must be a recounting on the position of Secretary General only.
Yes, it was that particular.
Yes, I had to stand up because it's against the principles of the ANC and the Constitution.
Mm.
Because when we nominate, when we vote, there's one ballot of the top six, right? It's together.
Mm.
Of the top six, and
you can't separate the one from the other. They're not held separately.
Exactly, and when you announce the results. It's from president up to the last member.
Mm.
So if there's a view that there was some contamination somewhere in the process of voting and therefore the outcome, my position was a very simple one, that you can't do a decompartmentalization. If you are to do a recounting for the Secretary General's position, you have to then do the recounting for everybody, which means we were going to table a motion within conference and say, that is our proposal. That if there's contamination, let's re-vote, you annul everything, and you start from the president up to the last position. And I must say that at that point, there was some discussion. We went to the new president by then, it was President Cyril Ramaphosa. We were three delegations that went and spoke to him, and somehow there was an agreement reached by then that, okay, let's sleep in dogs lie. And the position of Secretary General then will be left like that. And we moved to the additionals.
I spoke to him about his journey down the road from that point onwards. And he says at that point, we should have manually counted. We should have manually counted all of those votes that came through at that particular time. He says, if we had known better, we should have insisted on manually counting. Is that an issue of understanding and you know, who votes for who and doubt around some of these things when ANC people vote for ANC people?
Denzel, before conference go far, at the beginning, you adopt the rules. Now you can't, down the line, as conference is on, change the rules of the game. It doesn't work like that.
Yes.
So we had to live with what we have adopted as cadres of the of the organization, because you can't be a leader who is inconsistent when it comes to application of rules. That's why the position I adopted and other comrades was that, no, we will have to stick to what we have adopted in the beginning, and also as a tradition of the organization. Of course, maybe in future conferences, we don't know. People may demand that there must be manual counting and so on. It has happened in other regional conferences and provincial conferences.
I don't want to make Ace the conversation between me and you. I'm going to get to us. But yes. I have one more question on him particularly. He says he wasn't surprised about the journey after that. He just knew at that particular point that, you know, Secretary General, absolutely key position, and that he had a particular target on his back already at that particular time. So he was not surprised when the issues of all of the step aside and or other issues have come about. Where you sit today and you chat to him and you look at the processes that have happened around the issue of Secretary General per se, are you also not surprised that all the issues that have come around that particular position are as unsurprising to him as they unsurprising to you?
Those of us who were supporting NDZ, Menkosazana by then,
yeah,
before we left conference, we addressed the delegates. I was one of the people who addressed the delegates. And one of the things I said was that, comrades, we have to live with the outcome, no matter how unpalatable it is. That's one. Two, we have to make sure that we work for the organization. Three, let's go and build the structures. Four, in the course of building the structures on the ground, we must know that we are going to come across serious new difficulties and complexities. I even said, by the next conference, some of us who are here will no longer be together. Some of us who are here will not be there. And some of us will have been removed from our positions, right? Conventionally and unconventional. The rest is history on what has happened. So if you are a revolutionary and you're in a struggle, you have to know that both externally and internally, there will always, for 24 hours, be challenges that you have to contend with. So you have to be ready for anything at all times. You have to be vigilant as a cadre of the movement. So some of us were not surprised when things like what's happened to Comrade Ace and President Zuma and other comrades and myself and so on. Not surprised as such. That's why, for instance, myself, it never bothered me. Not even a headache. I was never admitted in a hospital or whatever after being removed from positions, because as a cadre, you have to know these positions don't belong to you. And sometimes you may get out of a position unprocedurally. And for the sake of the ANC, its unity, its stability, and so on, its growth, you have to withstand the pain and absorb the pain and grow within the pain to become a better cadre.
So you've absorbed the pain.
Yes, I'm absorbing it. I live with it. It doesn't do anything to me.
And I want to remind you that before there was Ace and his problems, there was Supra and his problems before Ace got there. There was the issue of a London trip being cut short, flights back, a helicopter flight into Mafikeng. Addressing the issue there, and then suddenly we saw your demise in the process. And so, you've been also quoted as saying in a particular interview, some of the enemies in the province would have then said, "Hallelujah, we got rid of Supra," and there was a Supra Must Fall campaign. But there was a lot of stuff going on around you at a particular point. And you say, you've got to withstand all the hardships that have come. You did, and there were a lot of hardships, and you were in the news for a long, long time.
Yes, like I said, it doesn't do anything to me. One day I'll come here just to talk about that subject. Fast forward, there was a structure there, so-called Revolutionary Council, right? So do your research. Go and look at who were the members of the so-called Revolutionary Council and where are they now.
Mm.
The reason why I don't want to get into the details is because on the 23rd and the 24th, I'm with them in court, in the High Court of Mafikeng.
This month?
Exactly.
Okay.
Others, for defamation. I tried to speak to them by then, but you know, they were triumphalist.
23rd and 24th?
This month. We are in court, so I wouldn't want to get too much into the details. But the reality is that that was the highest form of anarchy, which was unleashed. And people will be misled that, hey, people are rising up, I knew all the story, right? So the book is getting completed on that thing. So, and I say to comrades that when pain is imposed on you, look for opportunities to use the pain to become a better cater, right? Don't throw your hands in the air. And I hope one day we can sit down with these comrades and say, look, how do you close that particular chapter? You can't close it without getting into the details of what happened. 2 years ago, there's a group that came to me. It was the 21st of March, and they came. One of them said, hey, Prasupra, I want to tell you, now I'm a criminal. My area of specialty is criminality. And I was mobilized, I was paid, I was given drugs, I was given alcohol, cars, petrol, communication, everything. To mobilize other criminals like me and call ourselves a community of Mafikeng. And he says, we had all the support from people who work with you in the African National Congress. And they said, this thing has to be done in 4 days. Right. So they came and they apologized for not having understood the whole agenda by then. But I've been in politics for longer to know who plots what, where, and so on. So I knew what was going on. The only bad thing was that in the course of that, then comrades went for my family. Went for my family. It's not good to do that. I mean, when we've got differences, we fight in the organization and so on, we must try and preserve families and not go for our families. So, but we have lived beyond that. Life goes on.
So then at some point, you resign. It's no step aside. There's no stepping aside that you decide. You resign.
Yes.
You're not fired from the position. Yeah. It's there. It's in black and white. You resign.
Yeah.
Was there an issue around that particular point that would have particularly said to you from, let's say, Luthuli House and or somewhere else, Brur, if you don't resign, these are the consequences of what's going to happen? Or did you just look at the scenario and say, you know what, for now, and you used the word soft retirement at that particular
early
time.
Early retirement.
Yes.
That was the word I used.
Yes, but did you feel that you had been spoken to, or, you know, that there was particular pressure for you to resign, and if you didn't resign?
There are several reasons.
Mm.
There were many, many comrades who wanted to take up whatever they had at their disposal to fight back. The consequence was going to be losses of life. So that's one reason. I said, it will be my name that is dragged into this thing. And when people lose lives, it's not a simple thing. It's a painful thing, right? It affects families and so on. The second reason was that because I wanted to deal with this matter of this concoction, which was political concoction, which has been made that around that time, I didn't want to be seen using the premier's office to deal with that particular matter. That's the second reason. The third reason is that when you take an oath as a member of the executive, you say, just paraphrase, in summary, that you will uphold the constitution and you'll do everything necessary within your power to protect the integrity and the standing of the office, the aura. So my view was that that aura, the standing of the office, was under attack. And it was very clear that it was complicated. It was not going to be easy because people were allowed to do as they please. And the fourth reason was that it was quite clear that there was no aerial cover for me.
Mm.
There was no national support.
Mm, mm,
it was very clear that members of the National Executive Committee, the highest echelons of the ANC, they wanted to see my back as of yesterday. So having...
And you had realized that?
Of course, yes. Remember, I spoke to some of them, right? I will detail that in the book who I spoke to and so on. And I must say that Comrade Jesse, the late Comrade Jesse, now may his soul rest in peace, is 1% during that difficult period who said to me, Supra, come to my house. I sat down with Comrade Jess. We had a long discussion, 4 hours. And we were looking at different permutation scenarios and so on. And in the end, I said to Comrade Jesse, Comrade Jesse, it's not about us. It's not about me. No matter how right I think I am, I think the time has come for me to go. So that you give people what they want, right? And see what will they do with this thing that they say they want and so on. And they spread all the lies and so on. So after that council with Comrade Jesse, she then said, no, you know what we need to do? Because I was going to do my resignation in the legislature, in the Northwest and so on. She then said, no, come to Lutula House. Come to my office, let's sit down, drink tea. After you drinking tea, you take me through your notes and so on. And we will sit by your side, myself and the, herself and the SG, when you now do what you call your early retirement from the position. So I came to Lutula House, where the deployment took place, and that's where I exited. And for me, I honor Comrade Jesse for that because she understood what motherhood is, what leadership is at that point.
Did the president want your head? And I mean the president of the ANC and I mean the president of the country. I mean, when you say give them what they want, there's obviously particular people who are wanting something out of this and you then have to come to the table and you've got to hand it over to Comrade Jesse, as we have now just detailed. One of those people who would have flown in from London, cutting short their trip, would have been the president. I mean, that was very, very obvious that he cut his trip short, an international trip that's not often done for an issue of this kind of nature. So the question then would have been, still is, would one of those people who wanted your head be... the president of the ANC at that particular time, and then the president of the country.
Not in words, but let me tell you this. Me and the president at that time, we had three bilaterals. And in one of the bilaterals, there was an agreement that there must be sabbatical for me. I was not very comfortable with the sabbatical, but I agreed to it. Therefore, there was going to be someone who was going to act as a premier. And we would have announced that to the people of Northwest and the people of South Africa. So the sabbatical never...
With your return at some point in the future, then?
I don't know about the return. Okay. Remember, we are a democratic organization, so this is not your position, right? So in summary, I'll just say the sabbatical never materialized. So that part of those bilaterals and so on will be reflected briefly in the book, which I'm slowly...
But within that, I can understand that when he says to you, you need to take a sabbatical, chief, that in essence says you need to be removed from your position then, if the logic is followed through.
There was never at any point a leader who stood up and said, you shouldn't go. So for
okay,
me...
I see what you said.
Exactly. Somebody should have stand up and said...
Nobody said.
We don't think, from a leadership position level, we don't think you should. You should go. So, I mean, I'm adult enough and mature enough to look at certain things, permutations, variables in the political landscape, and be able to make your own deductions and come to a decision. But also I had to make sure that I try and protect my family. I mean, there were the thugs who were going to my house, wanted to burn it. The police were not interested in protecting my house. I hope one day I'll get the answer why that happened. Mm. And I must thank my neighbors and the comrades who stood up and defended the house.
Mm.
And it was never burnt.
Mm.
And the thugs, at least later, came and apologized. And they said, the instruction was that we must burn your house down. And had we found you in the house, you were also going to be burned down. So by the grace of God on that day, I was elsewhere doing underground work as a cadre to understand the thuggery which was going on and so on. So, yeah, but too much water has passed under the bridge, so we're moving forward.
Sure. Supra Mahumapelo is my guest in studio tonight. Well, let's go to Anele in Madrid. Anele?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Anele.
Yes.
Yes.
The essence of the absence of presence.
Yes, Anele.
Yes. That is Supra. Ironically, the province we're leading, Free State, okay, Northwest.
Northwest.
Yes, Northwest, Free State, and Mpumalanga. Ironically, it's part of, led by the so-called Premier League. You know that the Supra, those provinces are blessed in terms of minerals.
That's true.
They feed us in terms of grain, maize, and sunflower. That is Supra. Gauteng also, to become what it is today, was also a mining area.
Yeah.
Why are you guys, even as ANC and in government, you as a premier, why are you guys not developing those provinces to the level of Gauteng instead of us to be flocking to Gauteng? I mean, if you check, you compare the development between Gauteng and those three provinces, Gauteng is five times ahead of other provinces, but those provinces are well endowed with minerals.
Sure.
Why are you guys those? Just the last part. Please, Denzel, must give you a time just to sing that song. Matata Hayo.
Okay. You'll remember that, Supra.
No problem.
Matata Hayo. Sharp. Let's go to Bandile. Bandile in Orlando West.
Aye, aye, Denzel.
Sure, bro.
Denzel, as far as I know, Africa was never united. It is not true that Africa was united and divided by white people. That is not true.
Sure.
You must remember again when I Denzel, everybody knew his territory or her territory. Shaka knew his territory. Mushesha knew his territory. Everyone knew his territory. There was never
an
African unity.
And the colonial borders, Bandile?
No, I'm not talking about the colonial borders. I'm disputing what Mahumapelo is saying here.
Okay.
That Africa was united and divided by white people. It's not true.
Sharp. Bandile, I'm going to leave it there then. Maslow Mola?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Matlamola. How are you, Chief?
I'm not all right, man. I've got a little bit of flu, but hopefully I will get better.
Get over it, bro.
Yeah, Ntate Mahumapelo, how are you, sir?
No, get down, Kona. I'm glad. Thank you.
You know, I'm very disappointed in you people, you know? Especially those who lost at Nazareth, you know? I mean, listening to what you have just said now about, I mean, your own comrades hiring criminals, you know, to target you, to disturb your life. I mean, to go even to the extent of wanting to burn your house down, and if you were there, you would have been burned by your own so-called comrades in the Supra. I mean, this says a lot about the ANC as a movement. No wonder we are going nowhere as a country. No wonder we are in such a mess. It is because you people are not focused on fixing the country and turning it around and making it all right. Denzel, before you cut me off, let me just say this. Actually, the reason for my call is I want to ask Ntate Mahumapelo Mohore, you know, what is his views about the president who seemingly is not willing to be held accountable?
Sure. So Palapala.
The man was, even before Palapala, the man was found guilty by the court for his role at Marikana.
Okay.
The court found him guilty. The court found him guilty about the issue at Marikana. Secondly, the Palapala issue. The man, he sealed the answers the public contestor gave him. You know, he doesn't want us as a people to know what he's answered to the public. Lastly, you know, it's very difficult to ask questions properly because you close the tabs so quickly. But lastly, let me just say, the last thing I would like to say is that, you know, you are sitting back in the Suka, and yet you've got a man who's seemingly not willing to be held accountable. You know, you've got a man who's, he's a boss, he's a dictator, the Palapala issue is the latest one. He's, you know, he's seemingly not being held accountable. And you are sitting there enjoying your position in parliament as the chairman of that portfolio. And what about us?
Okay.
What about that? I'm very disappointed in you.
Maslamola, I'm going to leave it there. He wants questions about Cyril Ramaphosa answered. Then let's go to Thabo in Tembisa. Thabo?
Good evening, how are you?
Sure, Brur.
I'm just asking to Supra if maybe he can advise Polema Betro to what he's doing. I think is a dangerous game he's trying to play now, because I think you want to use the ticket for what happened in Krugersdorp to promote something. It's like, for me, he can maybe take that energy to go in Cape Town, where it's complete. They can't even reach certain area in Cape Town there because there's a crime there.
Sure. Thabo, I'm going to... I don't quite understand that, Thabo, but yeah. Okay, let's move to Basil in Boksburg. Basil?
Hi. Denzel, the problem with these ANC cadres is that they continue to paint themselves as victims. They are not victims. We, the people, are the victims of their corruption. And the issue is this. Under... Mr. Maumapilo, Northwest became the capital city of potholes, lack of water, poor service delivery. The only thing they were interested in is to build Zuma statues. And for me, like the first caller, one of the callers who said, Northwest is very endowed in mineral resources. They failed, dismally failed, to take advantage of that. So for me, these people, like one will call them, these people, they are not interested in saving us. They are just interested in chasing one another and saying this one wants to get me killed so that we feel sorry for. I myself, I feel nothing for him.
Sure, Basil. Let's go to Thabang. Thabang.
Hi, Denzel. How are you?
Sure, Thabang.
And that day. Mahumapelo, dumela.
Dumela, ntate. Akona mathata, Thabang.
Akona mathata. Just two questions for me, ntate Mahumapelo. When you look back from your time as a premier of the Northwest, are you proud now at the state of the province? I mean, if you drive in the N12 to... I'm from Volmarantsad. If you drive there in the N12, every town that you pass, lots of potholes. And then the second question, I just want to ask you, Mr. Mahumapelo, because I know next week there is a provincial conference coming in. Will you be available? Will you be standing if you are asked by the membership of the ANC? Thank you.
Sure. Thabang, I'm going to leave it there because I have 5 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to ask, of course, Supra to stay with us because there's so many other stuff that just needs to be dealt with. Supra, let's broadly, I think there's the ANC where people say these ANC cadres. You know, that's the language some people are beginning to talk about the ANC and of the ANC these days. There's the whole issue of the president and unaccountability or accountability on that particular issue. Then there's the issue also mainly also about the province and the Northwest and the premiership there. So I think those three categories in the main would have been the questions.
Well, firstly, thanks for the questions.
Sure.
Firstly, as cadres of the movement, we, irrespective of where we are, we must be ready for criticism, both destructive and constructive criticism. So you need to take both as a leader. So we take the criticism, because if people just support, we become a homogeneous society, and that's not what you need in order to have a vibrant organization. You know, I wish that we can have a blueprint for every ward in this country on infrastructure, right? National blueprint on infrastructure. If we had time, I will unpack which infrastructure I'm talking about, from ICT to roads to water and so on. We don't have that currently. What I did as a premier was, comrades, because the National Development Plan doesn't talk about specific villages and townships. I then said, let us come up with a model where every village and a township and a small dorpy, we will come up with a development initiative for those areas. And people must be very sure on what is going to happen in the immediate, in the short term, in the medium, and the long term. Mm. Word by word.
Mm.
And I hope that we can sort of throughout the country adopt that. Now, to arrive at that particular point, you can't do it in 12 months
mm.
or 18 months
mm.
when that was not the model of development when you came in. But you have to try and do some things urgent. Department of Public Works, for instance, the directive was very clear that procure borehole drilling trucks.
Mm.
Borehole for every municipality, working with the municipality, so that where there is no water, you don't have to wait for the layout of the pipes as part of infrastructure. Drill the borehole so that people can afford,
mm.
right? But you know, you sit in a meeting, you take a decision. When you try and follow it up mm. A bit assertively, you call a dictator and so on and so on and so on.
Mm.
And therefore, there are delays in implementing some of the decisions. Had we implemented that decision from 2014
mm.
of making sure that we've got the borehole drillers everywhere, people will no longer be having problems of water as we speak.
Mm.
We commissioned a study to look at the capacity of our underground water throughout the province. Right? I'm happy National is doing that.
Mm.
Because when you drill, you must also be aware of the extent to which there's consumption, not only by human beings, by animals for livestock, but also by the plants. Because we had made agriculture one of the key pillars of the economy in the province. I agree with mining. I went to President Zuma by then and I said, President Zuma, I don't understand, for instance, firstly, why the mining Indaba takes place in Cape Town.
Mm.
He agreed with me. He said, this thing will have to be changed.
Mm.
And I spoke to Comrade Matabate.
Is that not money talking, though?
It's money talking, but you can't forever be driven by mm. accumulation.
Mm.
And you must go to where those who have accumulated more are congregated, mm. right? So our view when I spoke to Comrade Matabate by then was that the two provinces must anchor the development around mining, entire value chain
mm.
Of mining. So we signed an agreement as the two provinces, and we had hoped that we will make some progress. Because of compartmentalization in government, there's no synergy in departments working together and so on.
Mm.
By the time I left, we had not yet implemented. I hope they are implementing
mm.
That particular agreement. The other proposal I made was that you've got OPEC in as far as oil is concerned,
mm.
Right? Oil producing countries.
Mm.
And when you look at platinum, group of metals, it's Northwestern Limpopo.
Mm.
And
true
then
story.
Your next platinum is in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
The question now becomes, in the context of the economic strategy of SADC and us as South Africa, I said then that why don't we, the same approach adopted by OPEC, we adopt it for platinum,
mm.
Right? So that it becomes...
In a regional aspect.
In a regional mm. Aspect. Because we produce more than 85% of the platinum of the world.
Mm.
That's how you will turn things around. And I just hope one day, We can as a country, as a government, agree that the mines must belong to the government. Leave mm. the word nationalization, right?
Mm.
We must just say the mines, strategic minerals, must belong to the government so that all these countries in the world mm. that require these minerals, we sell the minerals to them, we get the capital, we do our own development as the state
mm.
so that the private sector should not be squeezing us like they are doing now, because we have to appeal to the private sector. It's a profit motive all the time. It's capitalism at its best. If they wanted to go and jump in the lake, you can go and jump in the lake. But mm. the reality is that we issue licenses. We control the minerals.
So I want you to hold it there. I have to go to the news. It is 10 o'clock. We're going to continue the conversation. Oh, you look at these. It's just green, Chief. You are popular today. 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. Well, we have Supra Mahumapelo in studio, and we have, I think, dealt with one aspect of the questions from the callers. the provincial part. There's the Palapala part, and there's this whole thing about these ANC cadres. You know, the language that comes like that. So there's the element of the party. Let's deal with Palapala.
Well, firstly, the president is right by saying that investigations must take place, right? So that's okay. That's in line with the law. Where there are difficulties on this matter, it's us having to accept that the matter is dividing the organization. The matter is dividing the nation. So you can't leave the divisions that are taking place as a consequence of Palapala to the investigation by the Hawks. The Hawks are not going to resolve the divisions that are there as a consequence of how people perceive this particular matter. So what the ANC has to do is to say, outside the legal issues, politically, how do we deal with this particular matter? Because it's in the minds of the people, it's doing the rounds internationally. Somehow, it's projecting the president in a particular way and projecting the African National Congress in a particular way from an image perspective.
Sure,
and we are not coming out. We are not coming out.
But then I would put it to you that says, understanding the factionalism that's going on in the party right now, and there are these two broad groupings. That if he came out and honestly projected and honestly said, as you say, outside of the law, there is this element that is destabilizing either the party and or the country. He might feel that considering the fractious aspects of the party, if he came out and was honest with his own membership, that could be used against him per se, who still has political ambitions throughout his term and or then still in December.
In politics, you take both the good and the bad in politics. I'll make you an example. And this is one of my concerns, right? The president did very well. He went to the SACP Congress, did very well, became candid, open, frank, self-criticized himself, and briefed the SACP about Palapala, right? And then 2 weeks later, the president now comes to his own national policy conference addressing all the structures throughout the country. And the president doesn't do what he did when he was at the SACP Congress. My expectation as a member of the ANC was that here's an opportunity now to listen to our president becoming candid, frank, on this particular matter, so that when we go back, those of us who were in that hall, there's clarity on this particular matter.
But
we
Supra,
can
do you,
help
do
in
you
clarifying
think he,
the people.
Do you think he can then be frank and honest with people who he is looking at and going, if I told you, you guys would have other intentions?
The same people who were, more or less, the same people who were at the SACP Congress are the same people who were at NASREC.
Okay.
The same people who were at Limpopo Provincial Congress are more or less the same people who were at NASREC. You know, as leaders, no matter how difficult the situation is, right? No matter how painful personally the situation is, no matter how it may be interpreted by your antagonists and so on and so on, you have to remain on a principle. And the principle is that you have to take the membership of the ANC into your confidence about this particular matter.
Okay, but
and the truth
not.
Is that President Ramaphosa has not yet taken people who elected him, the membership of the African National Congress, into his confidence in as far as this particular matter is concerned. But it doesn't end there. Remember, President Ramaphosa said in 2018, and he did a brilliant thing, that the country must know, and the structures and so on, that all my business interests are embedded elsewhere in line with the law, right? Embedded elsewhere, they are handled far from him. Fast forward. Palapala comes up. The president goes to Limpopo, conference of the ANC, and somehow forgot that some time back he had said, he is far from what is happening from his business activities. And the president went into detail in the Limpopo conference on how he's trading with animals and, and so on and so on. Now, we are not creating things here. Right. We're not manufacturing things.
You're saying just accountability within the organizations that elected him.
Yes, and the frankier we come to the society, become frank with the society, the better. That's how people are going to have confidence in the ANC. And sometimes, as leaders, it has to happen at our expense.
And you're saying
become frank.
And you're saying he should live with the consequences of becoming frank to a fractious organization that might use the information against him, but those are the consequences of politics.
He will be judged as a leader who openly, frankly, candidly took the country and his organization into his confidence, no, irrespective of the consequences. That's how he will go down in history. Had the president done that, or if he can still do it. That matter is not going to die. Even if the horse can produce a report tomorrow, the matter will not die politically.
Sure. I want to link this conversation to the step-aside conversation, but I want to, in broad terms, lots has been said about the step-aside resolution and who it impacts, and we don't have to cover that ground anymore. But Moletsi Mbeki says to me last week, he says, at conference, he didn't expect, for example, the RET grouping to argue too hard and too loud around the RET, around the scrapping of that particular resolution. He said, he said he didn't expect it because, he said, his logic works that if they or the RET movement would ask for the scrapping, and it is scrapped, it would let Cyril Ramaphosa, for example, off the hook. Right now, they have him on the hook. The step-aside resolution is there. They want it there until December. It's going to impact him, and he's the big fish. So his logic says, whereas the RET grouping or faction first wanted it scrapped, they now see differently because they have pala-pala.
Remo Eletsi Mbeki is an analyst. I'm not an analyst. I'm a political animal. That's the difference between
But I'm putting it to you, yes.
Yes, I get your point. But before we get there, Denzel, firstly, in the resolutions of the 54th conference of the ANC, there is no step aside. Such a word doesn't exist. Go through the resolutions of the ANC. That word doesn't exist called step aside. There are 10 points under a resolution on ANC integrity, ethics, and so on. Right? So there's no step aside. Where does step aside come from? Step aside comes from the NEC executing the resolution on how to deal with corruption correctly, so, right? And they came with this is a modality, right? A modality possibly to deal with
the practical
activity
exactly. around a resolution that
exactly.
was taken.
Now, whatever the NEC is the highest decision-making body in between conferences, right? But the decisions of the National Executive Committee are a subject of the membership of the ANC. Where must the NEC decisions be subjected to? The Constitution says it's at the National General Council, right? So for the first time we don't have a National General Council. So you can scream and wara-wara and say this thing.
You don't have one.
But the fact of the matter is that the powers of the National General Council are not the same as of the National Policy Conference. Therefore, the branches are hamstrung. I mean, they couldn't do anything. It means your next destination, where you are supposed as a branch to hold the NEC accountable, as a structure that takes decision in between conferences, is your next national conference, the 55th conference of
December.
The NEC in December. So this is where this matter will be laid to rest. However, South Africans must understand that as the ANC, we have to be harsh on corruption, right? To say that the step aside as a mechanism must maybe go away. By the way, for me, one of the reasons why the step aside must go away is that it's in conflict with the law of the Republic. Because the Constitution of the Republic says, me and you are innocent.
Ace Makhachula says the same.
Until we are proven guilty, right? So we should have made sure that we don't fiddle with the law there. My own view is that when a kid of the movement has done something wrong, we must not run out of patience to engage that particular cadre. Call the lawyers, call the leadership, sit down with the cadre, call the stalwarts, the seniors of the organization, and show the cadre the importance of voluntarily stepping aside so that you save the image of the African National Congress. As soon as you impose it, then it becomes a legal matter. That's why it ended up in court. Right? So I'm saying that in December, my hope is that we can refine other additional modalities that we must add to deal with the phenomenon of corruption, which in my view, some element we must add as part of education is that there's no way you will not have corruption within a capitalist system. Because the capitalist system thrives on corrupt. It's inherently corrupt.
Yes, it's business.
Itself, right? It's about profit, profit, profit. It's about exploitation, exploitation, exploitation. Now, the debate should be, can this moral high ground that we want to assume as the movement exist side by side with such a horrendous system of capitalism, which we have inherited in South Africa, right? Black people, the Africans, don't have the huge capital, right? So where does the corruption come from? And I'm not saying black people are not corrupt, but the genesis of the corruption mentality, the philosophy, comes from the capitalist system. It's all over the world. So we may have to look at the system itself, which we have inherited, whether we shouldn't do something to do away with the system.
Supra, let me take calls. I'm going back. Let's go to Lerata in Cape Town. Lerata?
Yeah, good evening, leadership. How are you?
I'm all right.
Sure.
I'm good. Yes, this is Lerata from Cape Town.
Lerata, you can go ahead.
Yes, I have some questions. Good evening, Comrade Supra.
Sure, Comrade Lerata.
I believe, son of God, you are well.
He's well. He's sitting in front of me. Yeah. Looks well, bro.
He is well indeed. Yes, comrade, son of God, I have some questions for you.
Sure.
As you know that the ANC in the Northwest and the country in general, we are looking forward you lead the ANC in future as the SG of the ANC.
Uh-huh. You want him back there in the Northwest in whatever capacity, but you want him back in the Northwest, Chief?
Yes.
Sure. What's your other question, Lerata?
Yes, I got some questions. It's about four questions. My first question is...
Lerata, I've got so many people who want to ask questions, bro. Ask one.
Okay. One question is, how will Comrade Sukumapelu will make sure that all the dammed, the minings which are no more useful as we speak right now, but we notice there are gold within those mines. How will he make sure that those mines are profitable for the country in general?
Sure. Sibongiseni in Mamelodi. Sibongiseni?
I'm
good, bro.
Comrade Supra.
Later, Comrade Sibongi.
Comrade, I'd like to say I like your song in any way, but let's not go to the songs. I just want to understand the issue of the ANC. ANC is the party which you have to vote for. It doesn't belong to anyone. So I've heard you talking about that you were once attacked by your own. You were about to be attacked by your own comrade who wanted to burn your house in any way. So and you're underground. So you are still the member of the ANC. This division within the party, which us as a general public, we are voting for. We are not voting for a specific person. At that time, you are voting for the party. It's like, I won't say I'm voting for the current president.
You vote for the ANC. Yeah.
I'm voting for the ANC. And if you yourself, we are against each other with our vote, we put you there to represent. You are just leaders to represent the public.
Sure.
But that's not your voice personally. So I just want to understand why are you attacking each other personally?
Sure. Let's leave it there, bro. I have got so many other questions. Lopang?
Good evening, and good evening to Comrade Supra.
Sure, sure. Evening.
No, mine is only a congratulatory one.
Okay.
Or words of encouragement to Comrade Supra.
Sure.
That in Northwest would love to see him coming back as the provincial chair and also being part of redefining our government to where it was before,
mm-hmm.
especially with regard to the pillars of the government that he was leading that time.
Mm.
But also most importantly is that would love to, for an example like you are doing now, having called him to your show,
sure.
that he must continue doing that, especially just to ensure and clarify some of the issues with regard to the political happenings in our province,
uh-huh.
Especially the one that led to the chopper landing in Mahikeng to do away with him as the premier then.
Sure.
But what one can say in Setswana is that, Comrade Chair Supra, is that Komo Mogala Tswaratada Iserugase Bodua Kauka. We're with you, Chair, and we hope and wish all the best for you in the next coming week.
Thank you, Lopeng. So sharp. Let's go to Sunny Boy. Sunny Boy?
Good evening, Denzel and Mr. Mahoma Pilde.
Yes.
Sure, Sunny
Boy. At least I'm happy. I've never known actually what happened in Mafeking. I was in Northwest, actually.
Mm.
I was myself these questions. One day, when I frequent that place, I'll meet this gentleman and ask him actually what happened during our time.
Mm.
When they were trying to topple him. But
and here he is, and you're asking him what happened.
He did give us clarifications regarding the media. You know, the certain section of the media, they are always on the other side.
Mm.
But one thing that I like about him, before he leaves your studio, I want him to sing that song for me when he was singing it at David Kotane's funeral. It's just that my phone is off. I was going to remind him that song. Yeah, you know,
sure.
What? You are a brilliant a musician. I don't know. Just leave the politics, man. Carry on.
Sunny Boy, let's leave it there. Where am I now? Ndazibeti? Ndazibezita? Ndabezita?
Yes.
I've got something funny written here, Chief.
Yeah, no, it's long. Eh?
Yeah. How are you, bro?
I'm good, yeah?
Yeah, he's dealt with Palapala, but what else about Palapala you want to know?
Yeah, I was about to ask regarding Palapala, but at least Comrade Supra has addressed that issue.
Yeah, is there any other point you want to ask, Chief?
No, it's not a question, but I just want to encourage Mr. Mahoma Pilo to say, let him go back to his province, Northwest, to reclaiming that chairmanship from the ANC.
Sharp, sharp.
Yeah, thanks. That's what I have.
Ndabezita, thank you so much. Let's go to Chris in Braamfisherville.
Hi, Denzel, how are you?
Uh-huh.
I'm Mr. Mahoma Pilo.
Yes, he's here.
So, Chris.
Okay, I was just to finish the interview, and he touched on a point where at some point there were comrades within his party who were hiring known criminals, and these people then go and masquerade as community members to obviously lead this protest.
Mm.
And I'm just saying this looking at the current situation in the country. I mean, we had a similar incident last year where there was looting across multiple provinces. And you always hear people saying, no, this is actually not service delivery protest, or it's not angry people. This is criminals.
Mm.
So as somebody from the party, obviously, then with firsthand experience, I would just like to find out from him with what is happening currently in Tembisa, in Kagiso, the Zamazamas, and all of
that. Sure.
Would he say these are genuine protest, or is there maybe, you know, political influence that is sponsoring this event?
Sure, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Zonia. Zonia?
Hello, Denzel. Thank you very much, and thank you for the program. And trust me, this comrade is fantastic. He is who have contested for presidency. He is well-spoken, outright, and analyzes things to the point, leave alone the political analyst.
Uh-huh.
And I congratulate him on this, and this was one of the best. You were my best. He is now my best. Please don't be jealous.
He's replaced me, Chief. Zania, he has replaced me.
No. That's for the moment. He's excellent. Yo,
sure.
This guy has got that power that could change the world.
Zania, have you got a question for him, Zania?
My question for him is, if this is the situation, what does he intend to do about it? Because he's really excellent. So, I don't know. He should answer me that.
Okay. Floyd?
Eita,
bro.
Ek sê alles dinsy.
Ah, sharp, bro.
Away, because...
Away, bro.
Ek sê, hoe lekker, comrade?
Bro.
It's all right, my Floyd.
Floyd, sure. If it happens that we elect you back to the premier office, what will you do for Macau?
Okay, that's the question you want to ask. I see it, bro. David in Limpopo.
Hi, how are you doing? How are you?
I'm good, David. How are you, man?
Good, sure. David. I'm actually traveling just between Gauteng and Limpopo. That's something I'm in Limpopo. I just crossed into the Limpopo.
Sure.
Just past Carousel Casino. Well, my question to Supra Mahumapelli is, when is your movement, ANC, ready to elect any party leader who is below the age of 50? The party leader that will hold accountable even in the next coming 10 to 20 years for them, should they be not able to perform their duties or deliver the promises?
Okay.
My second question to him is, why is it look like the ANC is being divided into two? There's two ANC. There's an ANC of so left and the right, if I were to define the two.
Mm.
And what is the movement doing to try and unite and bring the actual ANC together so that they will work together to deliver the promises they've made in 1994 to the people of South Africa?
Thank you, David. I'm going to take Sifiso and I'm going to take Napoleon. Sifiso?
Hey, Denzel, how are you?
Sure, bro.
I'm well.
Like a man.
Hey, Tiakongre Supra.
Hey, Sifiso.
Two questions, my friend. Only two. One, I'm concerned with the insufficient office bearers of our nation in the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
That it does it not concern you as our comrades who are representing us as the entire ANC, that we take long to replace or whatever. I know that there are processes that need to be followed, but at our level, we look as serious. There is a serious problem if we are going to lead the ANC with insufficient office bearer.
Mm.
And number two, if you don't mind to tell us the strategy going forward to 2024, because it seems as if in our locals, provincial and so whatsoever, we are losing as the ANC, and it concerns us. Sure. In the branches.
Sifiso, I'm going to leave it there, bro. I'm going to take Napoleon. Napoleon?
Hi, Denzel. How you doing?
Sure, bro. I'm good.
Yeah. Uncle Soup.
Eita.
Excellent, bro.
I've never heard you call that before, bro. But there it is, Uncle Soup.
There are some.
Okay.
Denzel. Yeah, look, I wanted to ask Supra if does he see Africans... or maybe can I say the natives of this land working together to confront all the tribulations that we face beyond politics, black people confronting. Does he see any possibility? Because I think there should be a time whereby we look at our problems beyond politics and say we as the natives, whose ancestors or the bones of ancestors were buried where the mines are.
Sure.
Our ancestors used to graze the animals. They used to plow the land where the mines took over. Is there any possibility that we as the natives can unite?
Sure. Napoleon, I'm going to leave it there. Supra, well, you know, people want you
people want you to return to the Northwest and take up the chairmanship, take up the premiership. And people say, you know, they appreciate you being outspoken and speaking as you are.
Sometimes you can pay the price.
I've always known you to speak out, though, and I've always known you to say what's on your mind. And I did raise the 2017 issue of around Ace Magashula, even an incident when it didn't even apply to you. You were asking that, you know, fairness be drawn across the board. So I've always known the Supra, when I've interacted with him, as that person who would speak his mind and say what's on his mind. People suggesting you return to the province of the Northwest. Is that an option in the space where you are politically and or regarding deployment, if there was an opportunity to return? And I don't know what, in whatever capacity, because, you know, would you even consider something where you would be premier back in the province again, having been premier? So I'm not even sure whether that's even something you really, really want. But is it foreseeably, you know, something that could happen with you?
Well, Denzel and the listeners, none of us possesses the monopoly to deal with the complex problems that are facing our society. None of us. We have to take our weaknesses and our strengths together and hold each other by the hand to resolve the problems that are facing us as a nation. There's no other way. We have to do that. That is why, Denzel, in a letter I wrote to the Treasurer General on the 15th of June, when Palapala started, one of the suggestions I'm making in the letter is that we must introduce a new era in the political equation of South Africa, where the African National Congress is going to bring together all the African and black parties represented in parliament.
Let me understand. Is this the document that you
took? No, it's a letter. This one is a letter.
It's a letter.
I wrote to Comrade Tiji.
Right, because some of these elements are the same as in the kind of submission you would have made to the policy conference, I understand.
A bit of it is in the paper, right?
Sure.
You bring the black parties, African parties together and become a clear majority.
Yeah, two-thirds.
And become two-thirds, right? And agree with all of them on what is the new economic path we need to follow and deep reconciliation, healing, and renewal of our nation. Right? A new path. And we open that new chapter. One of the consequences of taking that decision is that you will have to change the cabinet if it's agreed to. Right? So the ANC shouldn't say we are this organization that must do over-monopolization of positions in the cabinet. Because there are other brains there among black people. And African people located in other parties that don't agree with the ANC. So bring the strengths together.
And are you saying to look in parliament, but beyond parliament?
Beyond parliament into the executive, which means some ministers will have to be replaced by
members of the opposition. No, but what I'm saying is,
and beyond parliament and cabinet in the society.
Okay. So I wanted to understand if your concept stretched beyond just looking at the parliamentary parties in
the
parliament.
Society.
Yeah.
In the society.
Okay.
So that you open a new era in the The current trajectory. Right, of us having this competition among ourselves and so on. Yes, it's part of democracy, but does it benefit South Africa?
Is this the thing that you call a national alliance for a better South Africa?
That is what I'm suggesting.
Sure.
That's what I'm suggesting in the letter. Now, the other thing I'm suggesting in the paper, because one caller here says accountability and so on. I'm suggesting in the paper that accountability must no longer be to the members of the ANC in the branch. Right? The suggestion in the paper says we must change the law and give the people, the masses, the power to summon those who are public representatives to come and account. For the first time you account, second time, if the third time the community is not happy, the law must give the community the power to remove you.
whether you are a councillor, whether you are a minister, whether you are an MEC, and somehow we must work out the law.
Ultimately accountable to the
to
people.
To the people.
Right, ultimately.
So you must know that every month, you can't run anywhere. You have to go and answer to the people.
So as we talk about the people, would you then be okay with a proposal that says the people must elect the president? And I'm looking at vice versa, because the one would be able, if you would have somebody elected by the ANC, who is the ruling party, and we've in our votes voted for the ANC, yeah. And the ANC says to us, we are going to make Supra the president. In essence, I might not have voted for Supra, I voted for the ANC. But when it comes then to accountability, you are accountable to the people. Are you wanting an aspect or an idea also rooted to the concept then of the people or an aspect of the people electing a president?
That system is not the best. It's there in the US.
Mm.
It's not working, right? It doesn't mean that if you are the president, you are the best thing ever.
No, no, no. It doesn't. The one doesn't exactly. Make the other
so,
true.
So my suggestion is that we must change, and the people must become the most important pillar of our democracy.
Mm.
Right? So which means we have to somehow change the law. And I'm not saying it must be a constituency-based system. Mm. We can still maintain the hybrid system that we have, because we have a hybrid system with the PR. Then we also elect ward councillors and so on. Let's give the power to the people. And if the people remove you, it's unfortunate. The masses have removed you. But the ANC will be applauded by the masses, because it will have subjected its cadres directly to the masses and not its own structures. Because in our own structures, there's lobbying, there's jogging for this and that, there's buying of people and all those things. Mm. As a consequence, the popularity of the ANC dwindles.
Mm.
Because we have confined ourselves to a small number of people called a branch of the African National Congress.
Mm.
That's why the paper I've written says.
And you have no footprint in the populace.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying, let us at the ANC expose ourselves to the people, so that the people must be the final arbiter.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Would that be a paper on the table of the ANC at the moment if the ANC still had its two-thirds majority and was that big party as it had been when it started out in the electoral space here in South Africa? Would me and you be having this conversation about engaging other political parties, black political parties, in parliament if we in essence had that majority as the ANC in parliament and in presence? Would we be even having this conversation? And I want to put it to you is that we're having the conversation because the two-thirds majority thing slipped by, and we are now talking about a 2024, you know, aspect of beyond 50%.
No, I've been making this proposal. It's just that I never came to Power FM to make it. but the proposal has always been there, that we cannot be arrogant as the African National Congress, because arrogance will lead to our political demise.
Mm.
Even if we can have the two-thirds, we must be the most humble, even if we have the two-thirds. So let's work with other parties, because strategy and tactics of the ANC says, our liberation is for black people in general and Africans in particular.
Mm.
Now, those black people in general and Africans in particular are not only located within the African National Congress.
Mm.
They may be opposing us. They may be saying bad things about us. But it doesn't mean that our essence of existence as a philosophy, as the African National Congress, which is in the strategy and tactics, now fiddles away. We must still stick to it, no matter the difficulties. That's why I'm saying, let's work together and build a much, much better country. Irrespective of what is going to happen, Denzel, in 2024. My proposal is not about 2024. It's about future generations having to inherit. We must bequeath to future generations a much, much better and different South Africa.
Sure, and a much, much different political party then, if I understand this conversation. The moral high ground that the party might have had at one point, all the kind of aspects that have happened to it, the demise of, and at the electoral and ballot box that we've seen happening, can't ignore that. We've seen some of the cadres fall by the wayside. The State Capture Commission just talks about 200, and I'm just, you know, talking about those who went to the State Capture Commission, those that were just mentioned. The number could be so vast. The question then of morality and or that moral high ground and this political party that wants to reinvent itself with unity and
renewal.
And renewal. Can it honestly, Supra, be done? Can the party reinvent itself, having maybe shown us over the last 20 years maybe that it's something different?
It must happen. And you know what is the easiest way? We are complicating it by us sitting, calling branches, calling regions, pieces, and so on.
Mm.
It's not the worst approach, right? But I'm saying, if we want to quickly succeed on that matter, the ANC cannot be different from what the people are.
Mm.
So we, as the ANC, we should say to the people of South Africa, we have a concept of unity and renewal. Tell us how you want the your African National Congress. Because ANC belongs to the people of South Africa. It's a heritage of the people of South Africa, right?
Mm.
Whether they support it or they don't support it.
I'd put it to you, though, that when it comes to choosing presidents, there's almost a hierarchy list. You almost can see the next one and the next one and the next one. So when we say the ANC belongs to the people, there's people who expect hierarchical. And elders who expect that after this one, then it's this one. Then after this one, then it's that one. That conversation does not say that the ANC belongs to the people.
If it is the wish of the masses, I'm still saying so, unity and renewal, it has to be at the center of the thought of the masses, right? And if it is the wish of the masses that it must be Denzel, thereafter it must be Oprah, thereafter it must be Supra, as long as it is the masses, it's okay for me. If it's not your analyst like Ntate Moeletsi Tsimbeke call consortiationalism, right?
Mm.
It's a deal of the elite in a society. As long as it's not a deal of the elite in the society, but it comes from the grassroots, and the grassroots says, this is what we have to do. The ANC has to do what the masses say it must do. I hope between now and December, we can, as the ANC, not just call seminar, organize bodies and so on. Let's open ourselves up between now and the end of November to the people of South Africa and say, a renewed, united ANC, how will you want it to look like?
And yet, Supra, and yet, me and you will sit here and recognize that there are two massive factions within the ANC right now. And one is called Tumamina and one is called RET. And, you know, we can debate about the names, but those are the two big groupings at the moment. And when I listened to Tony Yengeni a few months back, you know, way, way, way back, Tony Yengeni stood on a podium in Durban and said, the difference between these two factions is so massive that we differ in ideology even. We cannot even get together around how we see this new ANC going forward because that's how far we are from each other. How then, into this magical world that you're talking about, do we get when I've just put this scenario to you?
There's coherence on the ideology of the ANC. The ANC is a revolutionary African nationalist movement, right? In my paper, I'm suggesting that we change the ideology slightly and we strive for a developmental socialist society with South African characteristics, right? I don't know whether I will succeed or not. But on what is the ideology of the ANC, we cohere. There's no problem. The problem comes in the modalities of implementing the programs of the ANC. Remember, Denzel, I said, we are operating within an inherited capitalist system.
Which is inherently corrupt.
Which is inherently corrupt, it is brutal, right? Go and look at among ourselves as the leadership of the ANC, who is in the boards of the banks, for the banking sector, right? Which is white-owned and white-controlled. Go to the mines and so on. And now, there's no leader who serves in those boards, who will operate within those boards in a manner that threatens his own or her own survival. So it's economic and political self-preservation modality.
So what I'm hearing you saying,
that's Supra, why the problem
what
is.
I'm hearing you saying, Supra, is that we will not be able to change the banking and the mines because members, senior members of the ANC sit amongst and on those boards, and those things will never change because their self-interest is at heart before you get to the self-interest of the party.
I call it economic and political self-preservation.
Yes, that's what you just did.
Exactly.
That's why I said...
You are right. I agree with you. It can't. I mean, who will destroy his or her own fortunes?
Yes. So is that then not the problem with the ANC in as much as we understand it? We're trying to solve it politically and look at the ANC politically and say, you know, it's got a faction here, this leader, that, and whatever, and we look at policies and resolutions and all of that. The problem, the real problem with the ANC, I think, is what we've just touched on, and it's business and it's economic.
Yes.
That's it.
So what we have to do, yes, that's where the problem revolves, the axis, right?
Yes.
And as I said, capitalism will corrupt you.
Mm.
So what we have to do in South Africa, one of the solutions, is to have a very strong, powerful state.
Mm.
Because if you have a state that is more powerful than the private sector, the state will not be controlled and be influenced by the private sector.
Mm.
So if we can succeed in that, have the state that can deliver efficiently, quickly, service delivery on the ground, whether it's water, it's clinics, education, what are our roads and so on.
Mm.
If we can do that, and the state doesn't have to go and bleed to the private sector. I'm not saying the private sector is not important, right? But we have an arrogant private sector in South Africa, right?
Which is sitting with arrogant members of the ANC sitting on those boards.
In those boards, like I have said, right? Look at the social labor plans in the mines. The mines are not complying with the social labor plans, which is the decision of the state. But the state is forever negotiating its control and the whipping of the mines. Instead of saying, we will take a firm decision. You don't comply, the license is gone. And the state takes that mines and use the mines, the capital that is accrued from the mines, to drive the revolutionary economic agenda of South Africa for the benefit of the people.
Mm. Supra, are you in a good space?
Yes, I assume so. I'm okay. And you know, many people didn't know that, people don't know that it was never my intention to be a leader in the ANC. My intention has always been, as I completed my studies, as I did, as soon as I did my master's.
Political studies, right?
Yes. My objective was to establish a SADC-based policy institute, which was going to help in dealing with the ravages of colonialism and apartheid from an intellectual point of view, right? But democracy being democracy within the ANC, then comrades started electing me, and I can't say no. You hear some are saying, do you want to stand as provincial chairperson again? And so it's up to them. If they say stand, I can't say no. If they say don't stand, I will say, okay, I can't stand. Right? Others are saying get into the NEC, it's up to them. If they say don't get into the NEC, stay at home, work with them in the branch, that's the decision of the branches. In life, my brother, you have to make sure that you turn everything into positivity on a daily basis, because negative approach to life is toxic. And that toxicity that you keep in you holds you up as a human being. Therefore, you can't contribute positively to the development of humanity to achieve its highest potential.
So people see, and I want to use this word messiah, in the party, in the space of the party, this element of Cyril Ramaphosa, and if he's not there, then the party is naturally below 50%. Let's talk about, in the party, there are leaders and leadership. who do you see potentially as leadership and leaders in the party beyond this one voice, this one individual that I think we are fixated about? Because people will say to you, to the media, you are fixated about Cyril Ramaphosa, and you argue that if he's not there, then we are doomed. Big business, if he is not there, we are doomed. And that, in essence, when I say doomed, I'm talking about the African National Congress then, per se.
Before I come to that point, Denzel,
yeah,
my paper suggests that we must not focus on the individuals. It says, in the African National Congress, how we elect leadership, we must change the process. It says, next year, January, if we take that decision in December, next year, January up to June, everybody within the ANC who is either seen as a leader or elected as a leader or might be elected as a leader must go through an intensive, rigorous vetting, cadre development, training, capacitation, including technical ability for 6 months, right? And after 6 months, the masses, the people, not the branches, the people must say, from within you, the ANC, among you, all these people who have gone through this 6 months rigorous program, we are deciding as the people that the following people are the ones who can lead us into the promised land. The people. Therefore, it will no longer be about the individual. It will be about the people, and the masses will have elected that collective to lead. And then it means we will be the subject of the masses.
Sure.
As and the then, African National Congress.
And then back to my question. Who does Supra see as potential leaders of the African National Congress post Cyril Ramaphosa?
Those ones who will emerge from the 6 months program.
We're talking like politicians have to now, Supra.
No, you have to go through the process. I mean, I can't come here and speak like this, and that process might kick me out. That 6 months, because it must be rigor. There must be rigor in that particular process. And for me, you will have the best out of society, engineered by the society and as a product of the society.
Supra, how much of religion do you utilize in the kind of life that you lead and the kind of decisions in the political space that you take?
Myself. I'm a religious person. I'm a Christian. I'm a Methodist. I'm a member of the YMG, Young Men's Guild, in the Methodist Church. I believe that there's a higher power that exists somewhere. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or you're Muslim, whatever. So I'm a religious person. And I believe that when that power has not yet decided that certain things must happen in a particular way, we, the human, the living, we may wish for certain things to happen in a particular way, but when that superior power has not yet come to that determination, it will never happen.
Supra, let's end off on that space. And I want you to, what was it? Matata Hayo.
Ukolo lwa mendo nyuka nalo. Ukolo lwa mendo nyuka nalo. Ndelo bambe nye sanda diyonge na nalo. Eka yezulweni. Hayo matata. Hayo matata. Hayo matata, hayo moti moality.
Okay, you were asked by one of the listeners to sing that.
Song.
Yes, to sing that particular song. Is there one that particularly drives you, that when you're sitting in your car, driving and or listening, and or when you're just wanting to be Supra, what do you sing?
Peter Gabriel and Paula Cole.
I saw
Don't give up.
Yes, I saw
In this
that.
Proud land we grew up strong. We were wanted all alone. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought that I could fail. That's how it goes.
Supra?
No fight left, also it seems. I am a man whose dreams.
And you can touch the high notes. Huh? You can touch the high
I've
notes.
I've changed my face. I've changed my name. But no one wants you when you lose. Now, this song has a very powerful message in it. Yes, I sing gospel. I love gospel. I also love reggae, by the way.
Mm. I love reggae.
Reggae. Mm. Especially Peter Tosh. I like the message in this.
I'm into the heavy reggae.
And Bob Marley.
I'm into the deeper reggae. Yes. Not the. I like the Bob Marleys and stuff. But I like the.
There's a song that says, "Man to man is so unjust. Children, you don't know who to trust. Your worst enemy could be your best friend, and your best friend." Your worst enemy.
We're talking about the ANC again, right?
Some will eat and drink with you.
So we're talking back about the ANC now as you sing that song.
Yes. Maybe. It just happened to me.
It's been lovely chatting to you.
Thank you very much. And I must thank the listeners of Power. I call it Power to the Powerless.
Yeah.
I wish it was called like that. Power FM. Power to the Powerless, right? Giving power to those who are powerless. But thank you very much for coming here. I was supposed to be here for an hour.
Yeah.
It's now 7 o'clock.
Yes.
So Supra,
absolutely. And when you and I have the benefit of looking at a screen here. And I have the benefit of looking at this. And when you were on, these are the callers. It stayed green. And when I say stayed green, it means all the slots here were full. Yeah.
Okay.
And which just means that people really, really wanted to talk to you and people wanted to share that moment with you. So I have to thank you for coming.
Well, I'll come one day and talk about supranomics philosophy.
Yes.
The philosophy that I use for economics. So.
Sure.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.